Hi, thank you very much. I'm Lona and I'm an alcoholic and I'm from Copenhagen. And my sobriety date is November 25th, 1991. West Hollywood is kind of a special place for me because my parents immigrated to Los Angeles when I was 12 years old. That was in 1957. And we lived in West Hollywood. And I lived in on several addresses in West Hollywood. So that's kind of special to me. And I visited there a few times here in the within the past few years in my sobriety and gone to meetings there. And that's absolutely amazing. I come from an alcoholic family. My father was an alcoholic, and I think when they moved from Denmark to Los Angeles, they thought that the drinking was going to go away. You know, it was just going to stop when they came to Los Angeles, and of course it didn't. He worked as a barber, and he worked at the, it was called the Beverly Hills Health Club on Santa Monica Boulevard back then. And he got fired from his jobs very often, but back then it was very easy to get a job when he was finished drinking. He would sometimes stop for a few weeks, and he would take this antabuse. I don't know if that's how you say it in English. And he'd stop for a few weeks and start again. You never knew what it was like. My mother worked at night at a restaurant on Sunset Boulevard, and so I was left a lot alone over there, not knowing the language, having to start a new school at 12 years old. It was hard, and I didn't like it at all. I didn't like living there. I didn't like my home. I didn't like anything. I'd never been comfortable. I'd never fitted in any place. So it was tough. It was tough. And, of course, in school, I started hanging out with a crowd of people that drank and smoked pot, took pills and whatever. And in the beginning, I did those things because they did it. I wanted to kind of be in. I needed to make friends, even though I could never take any friends to my house because I never knew if my father was on the floor, passed out or whatever. So kids didn't come to my house. So that's how the drinking started. And I never liked the taste of alcohol, but I, right from the beginning, I liked what it did to me. I liked the effect of it. I never drank to feel happy. I drank to not feel anything. I didn't want to feel anything. I didn't want to be alive. I didn't say those words to myself, but when I look back, that's the way I was feeling. I was a miserable child. And as I said, never ever comfortable anyplace. The drinking had consequences very, very early on. And little did I know that my drinking was going to last for the next 30 years. That's how long I drank. And I can't understand how I survived 30 years of drinking. One of the first things that kind of happened due to my drinking was I was in a hit and run car accident. I was underage. I wasn't 18 years old at the time, and it was my parents' cars, and my friend was driving the car. When we got in an accident, we just all left in different directions. And of course, the police found me because it was my parents' car. I was easy to find. And I talked to some of my friends before the police arrested me. I talked to them, and someone told me that I should say that I was driving the car because I was underage and I wouldn't go to jail for it. So I did that. So I told the police that I drove the car. And I went to juvenile hall for 3 weeks and was ordered by the court to see a psychiatrist. And I went a couple of times with my father. But when he was suggested that there might be problems in my home, my father got very furious, and he didn't want me to go to that psychiatrist anymore because no one was going to tell him that there was problems at home. And when I went to court on this, he showed up drunk in court, and The judge asked me if I wanted to be sent back home to my parents or if I wanted to be sent someplace else. But of course, I didn't want to be sent to I don't know where. So I wanted to go back home, even though I didn't like my home. I didn't like being there, but what was I to do? And some of the crowd that I hung out with, they were going off to jails and prisons, and I don't know what all. And I spent a lot of time visiting people in jails and prisons and stuff like that in those young years. And also the guy that I later was to marry had done a year and a half in Soledad prison. And it was just crazy. In my teenage years, all I thought about was, if I just got married and had some kids, I would be fine and everything would go away, and I would be happy. Of course, that never happened. My parents moved to Malibu and to get me out of Los Angeles. So that maybe I wouldn't be with that crowd of people anymore, but that didn't help. I was 16, maybe 17 years old, and I had a driver's license, and I would just drive to Los Angeles and be with the crowd, and I would invite the crowd to my house. Sometimes my parents went on a trip to Tijuana, and when they were gone, come on, everybody from Los Angeles, just come to my house, and it was just a great big drinking party. And I was arrested several times, and my parents were called to the police station because there was a curfew. I don't know if it's still like that in Los Angeles, but when you were underage, you couldn't be out after 10 o'clock at night. So I had to be picked up a lot of times by my parents because I was out after 10 at night. And one time they told my mother that if this happened again, she would get 90 days in jail if I was picked up again for curfew. I was arrested again, and this guy told me that, and I was facing a court case, and I was really facing being sent away. Then this guy told me that that if I was married, when I went to court, I might get less time in jail. And so I thought, well, that sounds great. So let's get married. So I got married before going to court, and I was sent to a youth facility in Ventura, and I was there for 3 months. Now I was married, and my husband came there to see me, and I spent my 19th birthday in Ventura youth facility. I came home, and of course the drinking continued. I was so bad off already back then, and as I said, I just can't believe that I could continue for 30 years. We had an apartment in Van Nuys, and our home was like Grand Central Station. Everybody came there and hung out. I soon got pregnant, and we had our first child, and it never dawned on me not to drink or smoke or anything like that during a pregnancy. So we had our first child, and I thought that would change. I had many children after that, and every time I was having a child, I thought that was going to change. I thought that could make me stop drinking. I mean, any normal person wouldn't do the things that I did pregnant. My life was a nightmare. It was just a nightmare, but I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to go or what to do. And I got pregnant again with my second child. And we were going to Las Vegas to celebrate our 3 years anniversary with a couple of friends. And we went off a bridge. We got in a car accident. We went off a bridge, and I broke my back, and I was 4 months pregnant. And I was brought to a hospital in Firestone. And later I was transported to the LA County General Hospital with a broken back and 4 months pregnant. And I was there for weeks. I can't remember how long, but it was weeks. And you would think that something like that, I would stop drinking, but I couldn't stop drinking. I could not stop drinking. I left the hospital against doctor's orders, I needed to drink, and I was brought to my parents' house on a stretcher because I couldn't walk. They'd been taking care of my son, and I stayed there. And the doctors had told me they couldn't guarantee that I was ever going to walk again. And I'm like 22 years old. I had my daughter, and I didn't have a miscarriage. My daughter was born, and things were just going downhill, downhill, downhill. The drinking got worse and worse and worse. And then about a year later, after my daughter was born, my parents decided they wanted to go back to Denmark, and they wanted to take the two kids with them. And I didn't want them to do that, because then I thought, once again, I thought, if I didn't have the help of my parents to help with my kids, I would become responsible and I would stop drinking. I said that so many times to myself. I'll stop drinking. Now I won't drink anymore. And it just never happened. So they went back to Denmark, and my husband was arrested and he went to jail. And soon after that, I got arrested too. The police came to my house, and I got arrested, and I remember like it was yesterday when I saw my two little kids in the back of a police car, and I could see them crying, looking out the window while they were taking my kids away and taking me to jail. It was just terrible. They were 1 and 3 years old at the time, and I was in jail for 30 days. And that sadness, and that hurt that I felt in that moment was awful. And I still have the picture in my head when I think about it, of my kids sitting in the back seat of this police car. It was terrible. I was in jail for 30 days, and I contacted my parents in Denmark. And when I went to court, a woman from the Danish consulate showed up in court and told the judge that if they would drop the charges — I didn't know anything about this woman was going to show up — if they would drop the charges, she would personally take me to pick up my kids and take us to the airport and put us on a plane back to Denmark. And that's what happened. The judge dropped the charges, and this woman took us to the airport and picked up my kids. So we came to Denmark just having the clothes we were wearing. We stayed at my brother's house there for a month, and I got an apartment, I got a job, and the most necessary things. And the drinking was less for a little while, but every time it was less for maybe a few months, it always came back. Always came back and hit like I don't know what. Oh, and 6 months later, my husband came to Denmark, and we had another child. And the drinking took off again, like it always had. Soon after that, I wanted to get a divorce, thinking that I could stop drinking if I was on my own. The things that I told myself throughout all the years, if this happened, if that happened, I would stop drinking. And of course, it never happened until I, many, many years later, met Alcoholics Anonymous. So my husband moved out, and of course, my drinking didn't stop. And one day there was a knock on my door, and it was a man from social services telling me that the kids had been picked up from kindergarten, and I lost custody of them. And I was devastated once again. And I didn't know what to do other than drink even more, not to feel the pain. Now I didn't have the kids there, so I could just drink even more. And I did. And I just did not know what to do. My father and I got together, and he was an alcoholic too, you know. We got together and we made a plan. My father had a plan for me, and absolutely insane and so unrealistic. Only alcoholics can sit down and make a plan like that. He he said that I should go back to the States, and I would just like that get a job and get an apartment and get money and everything. And he would pick up those kids from those orphanages that they had been put in, and he would just put them on a plane, and they would come back to Los Angeles, and we would be fine. And the worst thing about it is I believed it. I believed that was what was going to happen. And of course, that never happened. But I left. I went not to Los Angeles, but I went to San Jose. My first husband now lived in San Jose, and I went up there, and I stayed in San Jose for 15 months. And I was dying. I was dying. I was filled with bitterness and sadness and self-pity and I don't know what all. And I said to myself, I can't live like this anymore. I cannot. I just can't do it. If I can't go back, if I can't get my kids back, I just want to kill myself. I can't stand it anymore. And so I wanted to go back to Denmark. I talked to my parents on the phone, and they paid for my ticket, and I came back. And I lived in a rented room for a few months, and I got a job and an apartment within a few months. And again, the drinking was less for a very, very short period of time. And every time it was a little bit less, I thought, now I got it. But of course, it never lasted, drinking a little bit less. And after 7 months, I got the custody of my kids back. And shortly after that, I started dating this man that I had met at work. And of course, he was an alcoholic too. And the relationship was very violent. I went to the emergency room a couple of times with a black eye, and I was afraid of this guy. And this happened going to the emergency room before I married him. And I still went ahead and married the guy. We dated for a few years. So I married this guy. And I mean, with myself, low self-esteem and not thinking anything of myself, you know, that this man, he had a good job, and he was some kind of boss at this firm. And I thought, why would somebody with a nice job want a person like me with three children? And that's the way I felt, you know, that how would anybody want me for anything? And I married him, and we moved to a different town where I didn't know anybody, and my kids were going to start in a new school. And 40 days later, he committed suicide. So there I was with my three kids in a new town, and I didn't know how I was going to get through anything. I drank a lot. Somehow I managed to get up in the morning and go to work. I don't know how, but I did. And I managed to pick up the kids, and I managed to do those things. And I don't know how, because I drank a lot. I remember this was 6 months after this guy had committed suicide. It was New Year's Eve. This was in 1978. There was a snowstorm, and people were warned not to drive. And I decided to anyway. I felt so lonely, so bad, not wanting to live anymore. I wanted to drive my kids to my mother's house, and then I would go home and commit suicide, thinking my kids were better off without me. And so that's what I did. I took them to my mother's house, and I went back to my own house. And for some reason, I just couldn't do it. I didn't know how either. I hadn't made any plans on how I was going to do this. I just drank until I passed out. It was horrible. A couple of years later, I was just so miserable, and I was feeling so sorry for myself. A couple of years later, I always thought that getting into a relationship, that would help me. Getting kids would help me. All these outside things was what was going to help me, and it never did. I met another, a third man, and he was, of course, an alcoholic too. And very quickly, he moved in with us. He came from a different part of Denmark, and he moved in with us. And within a couple of years, I had two more children. And we drank, and we had fights, and we didn't get along, and it was terrible. Then what happened was, my first husband contacted me. He wanted to get in touch with, I had three kids with my first husband and two with the latest husband. And my first husband contacted me. We hadn't heard from him for 14 years, not a word for 14 years. And he got in touch with me because he wanted to get in touch with his kids. And our daughter went to visit him in San Jose where he was living, and he had gotten sober. And that's the first time that I heard about Alcoholics Anonymous. He got sober in 1984 and is still sober, living in Denmark, by the way. And he was a member of Alcoholics. And my daughter came back from visiting him. And she'd just been going to meeting with him and his girlfriends in San Jose. And she told me later on that when she sat at those AA meetings, she was thinking, my mother should be here, she hoped that that I would come into AA at some point in my life. So she came back from San Jose, and she brought me the book, Big Book, and all kinds of stuff, you know, and told me about Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was furious. I was furious. That guy hadn't been in our lives for 14 years, and now she was talking very, very nicely about him, kind of adoring him, And of course, I didn't like that, but it planted a seed. It planted a seed. Every time everything got out of hand and we got drunk, I thought, what was in these books? I wonder what was in those books. And I looked at them, and I also went to a meeting. I went to one AA meeting, and I didn't understand anything, and I didn't want to be there, and I didn't want to come back there or anything. And I could not understand how that book or that AA meeting was ever going to help me feel any different or feel any better. Later on, her father came over here with his girlfriend, and they visited us, and we had dinner with my husband and I. And they were telling us that they were members of Alcoholics Anonymous. And of course, I knew that from our daughter. And I said, does that mean that you're not going to drink anymore? And they said, no, they weren't going to drink anymore. And we just said, well, cheers on that. And we just sat there and drank our wine. And they didn't preach or anything. They just said that they were members of Alcoholics Anonymous. And they went to meetings, and they didn't drink anymore. And what I remember very clearly is how different they looked. I knew this girl that now was his girlfriend. I knew her back then when I lived there as a youngster too. And I remembered how she was and how she acted. And of course, I remembered my first husband, how he was. They were not the same people. And that made an impact on me. That really, I couldn't believe it. They were sitting there talking nicely, real calm. Something had happened to them. Of course, today I know what happened to them. They were sober members of Alcoholics Anonymous. They were so changed and so relaxed. And our drinking continued a few years after that. I got to a point where I just couldn't live that life anymore. We finally went into treatment. It was one Sunday morning, the first time I went into treatment. I've been into treatment twice, but the first time, at that time, this was in 89, and there was a lot of writing in the paper about a treatment center. It was a fairly new treatment centers in Denmark at this time, and the Big Book wasn't written in Danish or anything. And I read about this treatment center, and my husband, our kids were 7 and 8 years old, and we were going to the racetrack, and I told my husband that, well, he should just go without me take the kids to the racetrack and go without me. And in my mind, I knew what I was going to do. I was going to call this treatment place. And so they left for the racetrack, and I called this treatment place. And they came to my house, and I sat there and talked to them. And I left with them. I left a note to my husband, and I went with them and went into treatment. I didn't know that was going to happen when I called them to visit me, but I ended up going with them and wrote a note to my husband that I'd gone into treatment, and either he had to move out before I came home or go into treatment too. And it turned out that he did go into treatment, and the kids were taken care of. And so now we both were sober, only I had I relapsed, and I went into treatment one more time. But after that, that was in November of 91, where I got sober. And I was kind of on a pink cloud. I knew I had to do something different from the first time, because what happened after I got out of treatment the first time was I went to AA. I didn't read any big book. I didn't get a sponsor. I didn't do anything but go to some meetings, and those meetings became less and less. I had a full-time job, and I had two little kids, and I didn't have time to go to AA. the typical story, you know, not having time for AA, the most important thing it should be in my life, and it did become the more, and it is today the most important thing in my life. But I thought, now a new chapter starting, and I knew when I was in the treatment the second time that I was going to get a sponsor, and I was going to work these steps. Didn't know what they were, but I was going to do it. And I thought, nothing can go wrong now. We're both sober and ready to get sponsors and work the steps and everything. And we started working the steps. And in the beginning, I felt a little bit fake-like, because I didn't believe any of this. But I did what I was told on a daily basis. Read these first 64 pages or whatever it was. Read this, you know, go to a meeting, call somebody every day. And I did those things. And this thing about a higher power, I thought, well, might have happened to them, but it's not going to happen to a person like me that's been as bad as I have been. That's the way I felt. So I felt I was just kind of doing it, not feeling it. I didn't believe in it, and I didn't feel it, but I didn't know what else to do. So I kept on working the steps. And when I wrote the fourth step, it felt like I saw myself clearly, honestly, for the first time in my whole life. Because up until then, I had blamed everything and everybody. You know, it was because of my childhood, it was because of my husband's, it was because of all this, always blaming somebody else. So that fourth step became an eye-opener for me, because when I saw myself clearly, what I had been doing, how I had been, I mean, nobody had chained me to those husbands or anything. You know, I had done these things on my own. You know, nobody had forced me to do anything. Nobody forced the liquor down my throat or anything. And I became aware of that. And what I found out was how I did not want to live my life anymore, how I didn't want to be anymore. My behaviors and my attitudes were absolutely outrageous and crazy. And I used to be proud of being that way. I could call the tax people or anything, you know, and scream and yell at them. I was very good at screaming and yelling and everything and everybody all the time. And I felt that was a strength. That's how I used to feel. So working the steps, of course, my thinking started changing, and thank God for that. You know, I no longer felt that it was cool to scream and yell at people. I no longer felt that it was cool to be outrageous in so many ways. Now we hadn't been married with my husband, or I keep saying my husband, but we weren't married at first. We lived together for 12 years, and we had these two kids, and then we got sober, and we got married when I had 11 years of sobriety. And my husband, a little longer, he hadn't relapsed like I had. But nothing changed. Nothing changed in that relationship. Of course nothing changed, because we hadn't worked the steps yet at this point. So those behaviors and attitudes were there like they had always been, and worse than ever, because now I didn't have the alcohol to kind of calm me down. I was restless, irritable, and discontent. And I never thought that I could get rid of that. And I didn't believe in the program. I didn't believe in the steps, and I didn't believe that I could ever change. And I was not able to practice any of these principles. I hardly knew what they were at this time. But I kept on. And I'm sure glad I did that. If I had thought I could go someplace else and do something different, I would have, because I said, well, there's no point in this. But I was too scared. I knew that if I drank again, I would die. And at this point, I no longer wanted to die. I really wanted to live, and I wanted to be sober. And after 9 months of marriage, I wanted to get a divorce. And at the same time, right around this time, within a couple of months, I was moving to another place. My mother died. I was getting a divorce, and my daughter was having confirmation, which is a big thing here in Denmark. I had 5 years of sobriety, and this was just a lot of stuff for me to handle sober. I didn't think that I could go through with it. I went to more meetings. I called people all the time. I did the things, even though I didn't believe that it was going to work for me. I just kept doing it. When I got on the other side of all this, I started feeling that there must be a higher power, because I've just gone through all this and I haven't drank. I'm sober. And I began having a little bit of faith in this program and having a higher power. And it helped to go to more meetings. Not that I felt any better, but I just did it because I was told that was what I was told to do. And most important, I did not have to pick up a drink. Slowly over time, my behavior and attitudes, I believe, began to change for the better. And as far as my ex-husband goes, we couldn't live together, and apparently we couldn't live apart either. Because when we didn't live together, we were still kind of, we met and we were always together around our kids and stuff like that. There's been lots of challenges and hard times through my sobriety, it hasn't always been easy. When I keep doing what my sponsor and other people in AA tell me or suggest would be a good thing for me to do, you know, it's worked for a lot of years at this time also, and so. That's what I just did. I kept doing that. And sometimes I've had a hard time with some of the choices that my kids have made with their lives. I haven't liked some things they decided to do, and I've disagreed with some of the things that they chose in their lives, only because I got scared and I had fear about the different things that my different kids chose to do in their lives. I know that the more that I can be supportive of their choices, and that's not easy, but because I had a sponsor and I always could talk to somebody about what was bothering me, that helped me. I could share my fears with my sponsor instead of sharing them with my kids. And of course, that was great to be able to do that. I don't need to express negative opinions to my kids, but I did. I I used to do that. I used to do that, and also sober, always having to give my opinion about something, and I was never asked an opinion, but they just got it from me anyway. I don't want to give anybody any advice on what to do with their lives. I should be the last person in the world that that can do that. My kids are managing their lives a lot better than I ever was before I got sober. I still need to work on a lot of stuff, but I have this program, and I am working with it, with the stuff that I can see that I'm still doing wrong. And the new thing, I also slowly became aware of that was that when I was in these outrageous ways, instead of being proud of them, I started feeling bad acting that way. And so that was a completely change in my mind, you know, from wanting to be outrageous to wanting to be nice and act in a different way. We had other problems in our marriage. My husband was a gambler and I was an overspender, and we were just opposites of each other. My husband wanted to save the money in case he wanted to gamble, and I wanted to spend all the money. So complete opposites. We went to New York on a trip, and actually to go to meetings and those fellowships. We went to AA meetings too, but we went to Debtors Anonymous and Gamblers Anonymous in New York, and we got all these this literature with us back, and we started those meetings in Denmark, and they still exist. It helped me a lot to work with that, and that's what Alcoholics Anonymous has done for me all through the years. It keeps showing me things that I have to work with, that I need to do something about, and those things would have never crossed my mind before I met Alcoholics Anonymous. So my husband and I, we spent 10 years drinking together. We spent 20 years going back and forth, living together, not living together, but we stayed sober. We stayed sober, even though we didn't always get along. And for the past 10 years, we've been able to stay friends. We didn't live together for the past 10 years, but we became the best of friends, the best of friends. The more the program kind of started working for us, the better our relationship became. And we, in the past 10 years, we've always been together. Well, before that too, but our kids could always tell when we weren't getting along. I mean, they just have to look at our eyes, and they knew they're not at peace with one another. That was very obvious. But for the past 10 years, we were at peace, and we were relaxed, and we were always there for with the kids' birthdays, and we were together every Christmas and stuff like that. And that's just been really, really nice. We were able to be there for the birth of the many grandchildren that we got since then, and being sober and being there for things like that. My grandchildren have never seen me drink, and I'm grateful for that. Really, really grateful. And thanks to having a sponsor and working the steps in Alcoholics Anonymous, we became finally, after many years, became able to accept one another. 6 years ago, June G was coming to speak at our convention in Denmark. I forgot to mention that I had heard all her tapes in the beginning of my sobriety, and those tapes made such a great impression on me. They gave me so much hope when things were hard, and they were hard for me in the beginning, not believing anything. So when I had bad days, and I had that all the time, I put on June's tapes. And when somebody like that could get sober, there might be hope for me. And so those tapes really gave me a lot of hope. And a couple of months before this convention in Denmark, I was going to LA with my whole family. And I met June there, and we went to an AA meeting. And a couple of months later, she was coming to Denmark to speak, and it was just wonderful meeting her in person. after all these years, when I knew of her name and her story that I'd heard on these tapes. And it turned out that she stayed at my house during the convention, and she's later, I've become great friends with her. And I'm just filled with gratitude having someone like that in my life. She's helped me a lot. And while she was here staying with me during the convention, one day she asked me if I had a dream and what it would be if I had a dream. And I told her that my dream would be to come back to Los Angeles, where it all started for me and where I did not. I've always loved the United States, even though all the drinking and everything bad went on over there. I liked it very much. And so my dream would be to come back to Los Angeles and stay for a few weeks and go to AA meetings right in the same place that I used to, where my drinking started at 16 years old. And she said, well, we'll work on that dream. And all of a sudden, the impossible became possible. And I've had the pleasure of visiting with her and Mark several times, with my husband too. And she's just became a part of my life and a person that I love. And I'm so grateful for having her in my life. She's given me so very much. I mean, to be able to come to her house, we were also there when they were on vacation, and I took care of their animals. For someone like me to be trusted, being in that house and a car and dogs and cats and I don't know what all, and being trusted for that, you know, made me it just made me feel so good, you know. So she's really an important person in my life. I've never felt so comfortable. They are the most kind and loving people that I've ever met, and so easy to be around. And I'm not the kind of I don't have an easy time. I'm not the most outgoing person. I know when I drank, I could scream and yell and stuff, but that stopped a long time ago. And I'm not that outward going, and I have a hard time being with a whole crowd of people, but being with them was just easy. After that, a couple of years ago, June and Mark came to visit us in Denmark, and they stayed at my house, and they also stayed at some other AA friends' house, and had the most wonderful time. And it is such a gift having them in my life. I so appreciate it. And even today, sometimes when I don't know what to do in a situation, I can talk to June on the phone and it helps me. My ex-husband got ill a few years ago, and he couldn't hardly walk anymore, and he had to use a walker. And I was so glad that I was able to help him and be there for him when he needed me the most, because we had become good friends, and I was there for him and I could help him. And that was only possible because of Alcoholics Anonymous and working the steps. My behavior, I believe, has changed for the better for my whole family. Staying sober through all of this, and also my husband, he wasn't feeling good at all the last couple of years. He passed away 16 months ago, 6 weeks before he would have had 30 years of sobriety. And he was the love of my life. And it was very suddenly and unexpected. And I'm just grateful that I was there for him. What this program has given me is beyond my wildest dreams. I'm no longer in conflict with everything and everyone all the time. That's how it was before. And I'm no longer a victim. That's also what I felt for the 30 years I drank. I felt like a victim of circumstances. My problem, and for me to know today and believe it, that my problem is always me, and it's only me. It's never the other people in my life. It's just me. And I just have to figure out what to do in the different situations. But it's never their fault, his fault, her fault. it's me, and how I react on whatever happens in my life. I really filled with gratitude. And I think I said before that my first husband has lived here now in Denmark for 25 years, and he has 36 years of sobriety. And him I'm friends with too. There are no hard, no bad feelings, no nothing. And he was also at my late husband's funeral. And it just feels so good to be at peace with everyone around me. The psychic change they talk about in the big book, I feel, has taken place in my life, and I feel that I am no longer the same person that I was when I came into these rooms. And I just don't know how I survived 30 years of drinking the way it's been. I drank for 30 years, and now I've been sober for 29. And that's absolutely amazing that a person like me has stayed sober for 29 years. When someone is as damaged as me can stay sober, anybody can stay sober. But I had to be willing, I had to be honest, and I had to be open-minded. And I have been as honest as I could along the way. You know, what I saw as being the truth 20 years ago is not the same that I see today. The truth changes, but I was as truthful all the way along as I could be. Well, I guess I think that's about it. I want to close up with saying that if you're new, I just want to say, keep coming back and don't pick up a drink. Miracles happens in Alcoholics Anonymous. Thank you for having me.